JC Corcoran Podcast.
And I think it would be a fair statement to say that every comedian here would prefer to be a rock star in real life. Because I think rock stars are the coolest people on the planet. Rock stars are very hip, always flare their nostrils, look like they're about to vomit. They always have that preamble before the song that makes no sense at all. You know, ladies and gentlemen, a long time ago there were lots of people. That's all I'm trying to say. And a lot of these lyrics, you gotta admit, when you hear songs on the radio, some of these lyrics are very generic, very trite. I mean, to me, it sounds like the guy is making them up as he goes along. You know what I mean? It's like, she's cold as ice. Paradise. And the feeling was a nice. And there's a lady I know. If I didn't know her, she'd be the lady I didn't know. And my lady, she went downtown. She bought some broccoli. She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli. Chopping broccoli. She's 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 chopping, she's chopping, she's chopping. She's chopping broccoli.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, May 4th, 2022, 197 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. I'm JC. You probably figure that out on your own. Well, the big story, we got another celebrity being attacked on stage, and this wasn't just a bitch slap like the Will Smith thing on Chris Rock. This guy had a gun and a knife. Dave Chappelle, performing last night at the Hollywood Bowl, massive, a legendary concert venue in Southern California. The Beatles played there back in the mid-1960s, and the place has been around for a very, very long time. And Dave Chappelle's on stage. He's doing his act, and some guy jumps on stage, knocks Chappelle to the floor, and is immediately tackled by about 10 guys who were beating the living shit out of the guy, by the way. And he was taken away in an ambulance. Dave Chappelle not hurt, though the attacker had a gun and a knife. It could have been a completely different story. The world is going nuts. The world is going nuts. All right. Here's a follow-up. I thought this was really interesting. If you listened yesterday to the podcast, you know, I was talking about that Second Amendment show that aired on KMOX on Sunday night after the ball game that I just sort of heard by accident. And a couple of the comments were made by a young woman by the name of Annie Fry, who is a radio personality on 97.1 FM. And I've met Annie, and she's a very pleasant gal. I don't like what she does on the air. It's really, really hard right stuff, and that's just not my politics. And we only do politics here on the show when it's absolutely unavoidable. And it is today, because we've got to do the follow-up on this thing. But if you were around yesterday, she told a story that happened a couple of years ago where she was getting gas at that gas station just south of the ballpark, so off Broadway there by the White Castle, and was carjacked. Guy took her car, and she talked about how she needed a gun to be able to protect herself from stuff like that. And I pointed out that there's some practical issues there. Number one, unless you are pumping gas with the gun drawn, well, your possession of a gun probably isn't really going to help you. And then if you start firing shots at one another in downtown St. Louis, especially after a ball game, and people are coming and going, and you could be just driving by in a car, and all of a sudden, a stray bullet from a gunfight in the middle of downtown St. Louis, which is what Annie seemed to be indicating what she wanted. I mean, I'm trying really hard not to twist her words, but you know, when it comes out in the wash, that's basically what she was saying. Got a follow up from a guy by the name of Steve who listens, and Steve sends me things from time to time, and I very much appreciate it. Said, you were talking about the woman getting carjacked, and what if she had been armed? What you fail to mention, or maybe don't know, is that even if she had been armed, she would not have been able to have legally used her weapon on the carjacker. You can only use a weapon to protect yourself from harm if you feel threatened. If she had shot and killed the guy, she probably would have been put in prison. If you see some asshole trying to steal your car, you can't just shoot him because the law has decided the asshole's life is more important and more valuable than your car. While I understand your concern about stray projectiles, I think if the word got out that you could possibly die trying to steal a car, there might be fewer car thefts. The other dumb thing she did, which I think most people don't think about, is she left her keys in the car. Never leave your keys in the car, even when getting gas. Go Blues. Steve, thank you very much. Very much appreciated. Yeah, I never leave my keys in the car for any reason. For anything, and I'm pumping gas. When I stop my car, the keys are in my pocket. That's it. So, you know, these folks who are trying to pump this idea of, you know, I don't want to get into a gun discussion. Let me just put it this way. If you have a traffic problem, the solution to the problem is not to add more cars. All right? And I'm just going to leave it right there. I have talked about this from time to time, about this Marilyn Monroe thing. It's one of those things I don't get. It's like the royal family stuff. Like, the world seems preoccupied with kings and queens and stuff like that. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. And there's other things I don't get, and the Marilyn Monroe thing is one of them. You know, there's been a lot of pictures of Marilyn Monroe that have been published in recent years because of social media, and you look at these pictures, and it's like, yeah, she was very, very pretty, very, very stunning. But, you know, in the final analysis, seems to me there were a lot of stunning women back then, and, you know, why her? Why her? And I know there's a lot of mystique because of the Kennedys and everything like that. But again, in the final analysis, I sat there and sort of scratched my head going, you know, here it is, decades and decades and decades later, and people still running around with this whole fixation on Marilyn Monroe. And I sort of don't get it. So now enter Kim Kardashian, who says she lost 16 pounds. How do you lose 16 pounds in 3 weeks? By the way, that's not healthy. They say that it's unhealthy to lose more than 2 pounds a week. So she's saying that she lost 5 pounds a week for 3 straight weeks to be able to get into Marilyn Monroe's actual dress, which, by the way, they say is worth something like $10 million. It is the dress, speaking of the Kennedys, that Marilyn Monroe wore when she... Happy birthday, Mr. President. You know, that whole thing. So they still got the dress. So Kim Kardashian says, I want to wear that dress. She makes an arrangement to wear the dress at that banquet they have every year where everybody dresses up in these gowns and everything. And, of course, she's got to get her big behind, you know, involved in that thing. So they bring the dress over and they say, okay, here's the deal. Security, you can't ever be wearing this dress without one of our security agents standing right there. This is a $10 million dress, and it can't be damaged. It can't be altered at all. And so, you know, if you can get into the dress, we will let you wear it on stage, or at least when you arrive at this thing, this big banquet, and then after that, you have to change into a replica. So she tries the dress on and can't get it over her big behind. So she says, okay, I'm going to lose 16 pounds, which she does. And again, that's a lot of weight to lose in 3 weeks. And I don't know, maybe if you're losing it from your ass, it doesn't affect you from a health standpoint as badly as if you were trying to lose, you know, like gut weight or something like that. So she loses the 16 pounds and they try the dress on and they're like, you know what? It sort of fits, but what we got to do is we have to leave the back of it open. This is what people didn't know the other night. The back of the dress was left open because, again, even after a 16-pound weight loss, she still can't get into it. And keep in mind, Marilyn Monroe was not dainty either. I think she was like a size 8 or something. That's something that people don't know. Let me double check that. Hold on. Well, first of all, Kim Kardashian, 5'2". And her measurements, get this, 38, 27, 42. Marilyn Monroe was 5'5". It was 36, 26, 34. So Kim Kardashian's got 8 inches, 8 inches on Marilyn Monroe's keister. And I usually ignore Kardashian stories, but I had to do that one. And finally, just to wrap up any political references here, you know, Donald Trump appointed 3 Supreme Court justices to the court during his 4 years in office. And all 3 of them, when asked about Roe v. Wade, said it was settled law. In other words, you put me on the Supreme Court, I won't dick with Roe v. Wade. And it turns out all 3 of them just lied. We're living in a weird time, folks. We're living in a weird time where Supreme Court justices are now being accused of perjury. Wow. Wow. All right, that's enough politics. I've played this soundbite a couple of times over the years. This is when Shaquille O'Neal was still playing ball, and it was a post-game interview, and he was trying to make an emphatic statement, and as people sometimes do, they end the statement with something equally emphatic. In this case, Shaquille O'Neal.
Period. P-U-R-E-U-D, period.
Missed it by that much. Anyhow, all right, so the other night on John Oliver's show on HBO, they put together this montage of statements. And again, he's wearing different suits, so it looked like this was maybe 5 different clips from 5 different shows on TBS covering basketball. And you've got the guys on the panel, and then Shaq is in the first chair, and you hear this, and you're like, whoa.
And now, Shaquille O'Neal can't stop explaining how to save money on gas.
I didn't want to get a certain vehicle because of the amount of gas I would have to spend. Yeah. It costs like $80
to fill it up.
And he said, then you said,
when it gets to half, then you put $20, you bring it back to full. You're complaining about when it gets to zero, you spend $80, right? When it gets to half, you put 20. And then when it get back to half, you put 20.
Yeah, but I keep stopping putting 20 in, and it'll be 80, Kenny, the same amount as gas.
Kenny, I already paid the 80, right?
Yep.
And when I get to half.
Now you're out of gas.
No. When I get to half, that's Valdosta, right?
Okay.
Now I'm going to have 20. But if you let it get to half by Wednesday, then you pay 20.
No, it won't get to half by. Right, but if Wednesday it's going to be 40, and then on Friday it'll be 40.
Not 40,
again.
20. Yeah. If I'm at half, I don't want to keep driving.
But where you driving?
Shut up. Just shut it up.
Half of 80 is 40.
But no, listen to what I'm saying. When you get to half, spend 20 and fill it back up, boo-boo. That's what my point. When I get to half, I'm going to put 20. That's going to bring it near the full. If I'm at half and I keep driving, I'm going to go down. But if I'm at half and I get 20,
where you're driving matters. So then I'll never drive my car again, ever.
Kenny, you're complaining about the $80.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, so I'm complaining.
At zero is 80.
We've heard it so many times.
Shaq, how much gas you think you can get for $20 right now?
Don't even start, Shaq. Don't even start about half full and...
I'm just telling you. If I add 20, you're just going to give me some cushion. So I can
ain't
go
no
home
cushion.
And come back. And then you'll be back here tomorrow. Case closed. Shut the hell up,
case,
all of you.
Case closed indeed.
Yes.
Case closed, please.
Trust me, my gas method works.
All right, it's May 4th. May the 4th be with you, the whole thing. I'm not a big Star Wars guy. Well, actually, I lied. I'm not a Star Wars guy at all. I didn't even see the whole movie until maybe 15 years ago. I just, you know, when the 70s were happening, I was doing other stuff. And I watched all those people standing in line for like 6 hours to get into Star Wars. I'm like, I'm sorry. And I just got turned off by the whole thing. And the next thing you know, you're like 50 years old and you still haven't seen Star Wars. Sorry about that. And I know that might surprise a lot of people. It may even shock some people. Today, Star Wars Day, Mental Floss put together a list of facts from the Star Wars franchise, like George Lucas used real World War II footage of aerial battles and dogfights for the space battles. Obi-Wan Kenobi was originally supposed to survive his lightsaber battle with Darth Vader in A New Hope. Harrison Ford's casting as Han Solo was accidental. He was only around to help feed lines to actors that were auditioning, which included a young Kurt Russell. George Lucas liked Harrison's delivery the best, and he said, how about you do this? George originally wanted Jim Henson to play Yoda. In early drafts of the screenplay, Yoda's name was Buffy, which turned into Minch Yoda, then eventually just Yoda. And 11-year-old Warwick Davis was originally an Ewok extra, but he got cast as Wicket after Kenny Baker also played R2-D2, got food poisoning. Benicio del Toro was supposed to play Darth Maul. He dropped out after most of the lines were cut, but he did appear in The Last Jedi as the character DJ. A young Han Solo was supposed to be in Revenge of the Sith. The Force Awakens has many cameos like Bill Hader, Daniel Craig, Simon Pegg. Peter Mayhew was cast as Chewbacca primarily because of his height. He was 7'3", and that's all I want out of that. All right, late night tonight. Well, first of all, you got this thing on Netflix called Meltdown, 3 Mile Island. I remember when that happened. It scared the bejesus out of me. I don't know if you were the same, if you were around back then. I was living in Lansing, Michigan, and that they interrupted, you know, the regular programming, and everybody was scared shitless. And then Saturday Night Live comes out, and they just started making fun of the whole thing, and they put together this scenario where then-President Jimmy Carter was exposed to radiation and just it exploded into a giant human being, like this guy the size of Paul Bunyan or something. And they're like, you know, well, how big is the president? Like, doing a news conference. Like, well, we brought in comedian Rodney Dangerfield to explain how big the president has become. I'll tell you, the president is so big, two women could make love to him at the same time and never meet. And that sort of was the release valve on the whole thing. So that's on Netflix starting today. Late night, Jimmy Fallon's got Elizabeth Olsen and Nora Jones. JC likes Nora Jones a lot. Jimmy Kimmel's got Ewan McGregor, Ben Schwartz, and the head of the Heart, Mike Birbiglia, who did a great job last night filling in for Jimmy Kimmel. He's out, both he and his wife, out with COVID. Stephen Colbert's got Glenn Close and Sheryl Crow. That documentary on Sheryl Crow happens this weekend, by the way. Colin Hanks on with James Corden, Seth Meyers as Amy Schumer, and Jennifer Grey. And if you missed the story yesterday, so the story going around Hollywood is that James Corden, who just announced that he'll be stepping down from the late night show on CBS, that he might be the replacement for Ellen DeGeneres, now that her career as a talk show host has come to a screeching halt. The New Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue has its first visibly pregnant model. Not really sure what the point of that is. I watched the trailer yesterday for the Weird Al Yankovic movie. Let me just tell you something about Weird Al. He is a great guy. I've had him on the air a couple of different times. First of all, he graduated high school like 2 years early. He went to college when he was like 16 years old. He is incredibly intelligent and, needless to say, funny and with a very odd perspective on life. Billy Mumy, Danger Will Robinson, remember him? He was the guy who introduced Weird Al to a woman who would then become his wife. That's got to be difficult, going home to mom and dad. I think I've met the one, mom and dad. I think I've met the guy I'm going to marry. Really? Really? What's his name? Weird Al Yankovic. Anyhow, if you have the Roku channel, it's going to premiere in the fall, and the trailer looks interesting, I'll say that. It looks interesting. You know, I think it was back in the 80s. Might have even been the 70s. You know, it had to be the 80s. Weird Al Yankovic did a full-length motion picture called UHF. Michael Richards from Seinfeld was in it, and this movie was very, very juvenile, but really funny. There was it was like a, part of the story was there was like a children's TV show, you know, an audience full of kids, and they would do stupid stuff on stage, and there was this thing where you get to drink from the fire hose, and then Michael Richards would put his face on the water and get blown across the set. There was a lot of really, really funny stuff in UHF, and, you know, for the first movie somebody's doing, I thought he would automatically get more movie roles or they would give him more stuff to do, but outside of, well, let's see, I think it was the first Naked Gun movie, he did a cameo in that. I've already told you about the Top Gun thing. We're getting really close to Top Gun. There have been a very small number of people who have seen it and have posted on social media, and they say it's absolutely terrific. I'm not doubting that the movie is probably going to be exciting and probably at least as exciting as the first one that came out in the middle 1980s. The problem I have with it, and I've seen two trailers on it now, it looks like the same movie. It looks exactly the same. And maybe that will end up not being the case. But like I said, all I can go by now is the trailer. And that's how it played to me. Right? So just leave that at that. A rare violin that was supposedly played on the soundtrack to The Wizard of Oz could fetch $20 million at auction, which brings up this story. Does everybody remember Mike Owens? Mike Owens was the investigative reporter at Channel 5 from what, probably the mid-80s up until, I don't know, maybe the late 90s, maybe the early 2000s, something like that. Mike Owens actually ended up getting remarried late in life to Lyda Crewson. You may remember, was the mayor of the city of St. Louis. And Mike Owens was a difficult guy to like. I worked in the newsroom with him for, you know, 5 or 6 years. And let's just say he was quirky. We'll just leave it at that. He was quirky. Seemed a little on the arrogant side. Difficult guy to get to know. And there were a number of people in the Channel 5 newsroom when I was there that I don't know that they were very pleased that I was there. And he might have been one of them. And, you know, you try for a certain amount of time that seems reasonable to try to win somebody over, and you're still not able to do it. And then you just say, well, then fine. I don't know what your problem is. I've been, you know, trying to, you know, make overt attempts to win you over, and it still ain't working. So I'm just going to sort of go on with my life. And I mentioned Mike Owens because of The Wizard of Oz. Mike Owens, and again, he's the investigative reporter. He knows stuff that a lot of us, you know, are not exposed to. He absolutely insisted that Mickey Carroll had completely made up the story about being in The Wizard of Oz. So Mickey Carroll's running around town, you know, doing autographs and, you know, just being that guy, this lovable little munchkin. And Mike Owens said, I have looked everywhere for some sort of documentation that Mickey Carroll was in The Wizard of Oz, and I can't find it. I think the son of a bitch is making the whole thing up. And, you know, he was very, very emphatic about that and believed it right till the last day that I worked with him. So take that or leave it. Speaking of movies, there's going to be a Field of Dreams series on Peacock. Well, that's a bad idea. And a new Jackass series on Paramount. I guess they'll keep doing Jackass until somebody finally does get killed. And it turns out that CBS is the most watched network for the 14th straight year. All right, birthdays today. Erin Andrews. I tried to like her. She's an easy target. Pretty girl. Sideline reporter. Everything like that. And at least, by the way, in her job as a, you know, the reporter on the sidelines, yeah, she, that's a reasonable job. And, you know, athletes like to be around pretty girls, so she gets interviews and she does, you know, an admirable job. But now she's doing commercials, and it's coming off as the biggest bubblehead you ever saw in your life. If you have seen those car commercials, you know exactly what I'm talking about. 44 today. Kimora Lee Simmons, another gal from St. Louis, half Japanese, half black, all brains, married Russell Simmons, took over his baby fat clothing line, and then divorced him. 47, that's all. Wow. Will Arnett, and did that shock the world when he and Amy Poehler broke up? Sure did. He's 52 today. Anna Gasteyer, from Saturday Night Live, 55, Randy Travis, had a massive stroke in 2013. He's 63 right now. Mo of the Three Stooges died on this date in 75, 47 years ago. He was 77. He died of lung cancer. And a real sort of a political awakening for me back when I was just a kid in, well, let's see, still in high school, 1970, Kent State University in Ohio. National Guardsmen opened fire on anti-war protesters. Four students dead. Neil Young, of course, wrote the lyrics to Ohio about the shooting, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Young. And there were people at the time, including Paul Harvey, by the way. Every anniversary of Kent State, he would wheel out this speech about how if you are going to go protest and pick up tear gas canisters and throw them back at the National Guard, you're making aggressive actions. And so, you know, if you're going to do stuff like that, you have to accept the possibility that you might get shot and killed, which sounds good if you're talking about like Sri Lanka or something. But in the United States of America, we don't do that. And it was further complicated by the fact that a couple of the four that were killed on this date back in 1970 were just innocent bystanders, stray bullets. One guy was a ROTC guy, ROTC guy, going to his ROTC class, I think. So as usual, a lot of misinformation about something like that. It's just it never ceases to amaze me how, you know, and both sides do this, but they report stories the way they wish they were rather than the way they actually happened. Welcome to America. On this date in 1988, after I had jumped in 1987 from KSHE over to KSD, the ratings came out and we were number one. We beat KSHE on this date in 1988. I moved into my first home in Baldwin, Missouri on this date in 1985. I had never owned a home before, and that was my first house, and I'll be placing a private message to the woman who I was sort of seeing at the time, who helped me move in, helped me unpack, and let's just say we christened the new house. All right. Set up the bed, quick! 1989, on this date, a lot of people left St. Louis, headed for Chicago because David Letterman did a live taping of Late Night at the Chicago Theater. That was 1989. 1990, I was in L.A. interviewing Robin Williams for a movie called Cadillac Man. And on this date in 2008, after receiving a lot of encouragement from some guys that I used to play softball with, it was actually the 590 KFNS team. They would. I had some friends who worked over there, and they're like, "We got another charity softball game, and it would probably help if you showed up and you could talk about it on the air." I was like, "Yeah, as long as you let me play." They're like, "Oh yeah, we'll let you play." So I would, you know, talk about the thing on the air and say, "Come on out, you know, we're raising money for whatever the case may be, and I'll be playing in the game too." So we started doing that a lot, and I played with the 590 guys a lot, and one of the guys said, you know, I play in the men's senior baseball league, hardball, real baseball, and I think you could play. And I was like, oh, Jesus, I haven't played hardball in 37 years. I think that ship sailed. And he was like, no, I think you could do it. I think you could do it. So then I started thinking about it, and it took me about a year, and then finally I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw on the sidelines for about 2 months and really get my body in shape, really get my arm in shape. And if I'm going to do this, I'm going to give myself the best shot. So sure enough, they schedule a tryout for me. And the tryout, it turns out to be, is at Flow Valley Community College on a Sunday morning. And there's a game that had started at 10 o'clock in the morning. And so I showed up and they're like, all right, let me, and the manager, a wonderful guy by the name of Dave Eidelman, said, all right, let me get this game started here. And, you know, and after an inning or two, I'll take you down into the left field bullpen here, and we'll see what you got. And so, sure enough, about the second inning, he's like, all right, he grabs the catcher's mitt. He goes, all right, let's go down there. So I got on the mound, and I threw 11 pitches. Now, keep in mind, everybody on both teams sees me doing this. Okay, they're playing in a game, but I can see I'm being watched. You know, I'm sure the guys were like, "Who does this fucking joker think he is? The radio guy thinks he can pitch in this league? What a bunch of bullshit!" So they were watching. They were watching. I was really nervous. I threw 11 pitches. And I threw mostly fastballs, but I threw enough curveballs. And on the 11th pitch, which happened to be a curveball, which I really bent off good, the manager, Dave Eidelman, got up off his haunches and started walking to me with the ball in his hand. And I thought to myself, oh my God, what a disaster. He's going to come up to me and say, hey, thanks for coming out. But, you know, I just don't think you're going to be able to make it in this league. And he's walking towards me with the ball. And I'm like, oh, no, this is so humiliating. And he hands me the ball and says, they'll never hit those. I said, excuse me, baking powder? He's like, yeah, he says, you'll do fine in this league. We have a game Tuesday night. Can you play? And I was like, sure. And so the following Tuesday night, they put me in for two innings. I gave up one earned run. I was nervous. But other than that, did okay. I think I had one or two strikeouts also and played in that league for about 10 years. But like all good things, you know, you realize, oh, I remember why I stopped playing, because there's too much politics on a baseball team. The guys who are our buddies with one another, they tend to get played more often and they tend to be starters more often. And, you know, you come in from the outside and now you got to wait your turn. So that all ended, you know, unceremoniously, shall we say. But, you know, a couple of weeks after that tryout, I got my first complete game win in 37 years. And that baseball is, I'm looking at it right now. It's on my shelf right here in my little trophy case, because that was a big day for me. That was a big, big day. Well, I'm going to go have some breakfast right now because I eat. You know, I don't know how you lose 16 pounds. I'm still trying to figure out how you lose 16 pounds in 3 weeks like Kim Kardashian. Then again, I guess maybe it's a special diet where she looked at Pete Davidson and immediately lost her appetite. I don't know. And with that, we say that's it for the Wednesday, May 4th edition of the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jconline.com. 197 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. We are here every day right about 7 o'clock, a couple minutes late usually. We archive everything, so don't worry. If you miss one, you can always pick it up later. You may email me, JC at jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.